Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, the Royals did drop a game to the Angels yesterday, 3-2. Stephen Kolek did go six, only allowed two earned runs, obviously looking at
another
the future.
Another good start from young guys.
Yeah, they're looking at the future. You like seeing that. The Guardians, meanwhile, in the Central have officially overtaken the Tigers. No tiebreaker needed. They are outright leaders in the AL Central after a win there. Four games to go, and the Tigers are now a game back of Cleveland after being up 15 games or whatever.
And only a game up on Houston for the final wild card spot. They could miss the playoffs.
That, if they missed it altogether, oh my goodness.
I said it yesterday. I stand by it. I would much rather, if they missed the playoffs, I'd rather be the Royals this year than the Tigers. I couldn't take it if I was the Tigers. Yeah. It would be, the twist of the knife would be too much for
me.
Well,
it'd be painful. Yeah, it'd be painful. The Astros can only be a wild card now.
Yep.
The West was won by the Mariners. So it is the Tigers or Astros are going to get the final wild card spot. Or I guess the Guardian. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what's going to happen. I mean, I think the Guardians are going to win the division. I think it's over. I think all the momentum is the Tigers are toast.
I think they're going to miss the playoffs. That's how toast I think they are. Next up on Watch Training, we'll get further confirmation later today, but Xavier Worthy was a full participant in practice today. Obviously, it's coordinators meeting with the media today, so we won't find out until a little bit later on whether or not he's a full participant again. But barring a setback, it looks like Xavier Worthy is on track to play for the Chiefs coming up on Sunday. That's after missing the first three games of the year, or the first 61 plays after the first three and then the next two games. So the first three games of the year, he is on track to start for the Chiefs on Sunday against the Ravens.
Some news in the NFL, more on the business side of things. The Patriots have reportedly reached an agreement to sell a stake in their franchise at a valuation that exceeds $9 billion. So two groups, so Sixth Street buying 3% and then Dean Metropolis 5%. But they're valuing it at $9 billion.
So Metropolis paid $450 million?
Yes.
Man, I'd be selling 5% too.
Yeah, the values are crazy.
Bob Clark Hunting, you're telling me that I sell 5% of my team and I get $450 million. That pays for the rest of Mahomes the rest of the time. Wipe my hand to that.
Or, you know, this whole stadium.
Get paid.
Turns out they're trying to figure out the stadium stuff. Yeah.
And if you're going to privately fund it, that'd be one way to do it. Sell off a part of the team. Next up on What's Trending, kind of surprising news out of San Francisco today. In meeting with the media, Kyle Shanahan admitted that Brandon Ayuk is, quote, not close to returning to the field. That, according to their head coach, said more damage was done to just the ACL, so there were other parts of the knee that were a problem, and more recovery time is needed. If you're a 49ers fan, you cannot like hearing the words not close as it relates to Brandon Ayuk's return. He was hurt late last year. Yeah. Nobody thought he was going to be ready for the beginning of the regular season, but certainly thought he might be available by now. And now Kyle Shanahan saying like, oh, no, it's going to be a little bit. So they're going to have to continue to win without, I don't know, their starting quarterback, their starting tight end, their starting defensive end, their starting wide receiver. That's buried them in previous years where they've been like 6-win teams with all the injuries. They're 3-0 at the moment. The real question is, can they continue to scratch and survive?
One final note on what's trending. Roger Goodell recently had an interview with CNBC. He was talking about some of the international games. Of course, this Sunday in Dublin, it's the Steelers and Vikings. And he was just asked about a London-based franchise, saying it would be possible, but the NFL is weighing other possibilities too. Quote, I would say that the markets outside the U.S. are very, very attractive. And we've got pretty good coverage here.
He also said that a streaming Super Bowl could be on the table.
Yeah.
Oh, I think
Rodge wants you to go to YouTube to watch a Super Bowl that is taking place in London.
That makes it sound like he's more likely to do Mexico City or Canada than he is London.
I guess I hate it. I just like it. I'm talking about adding another team. No, I know. Adding the other team, I can live with. The Super Bowl stuff, it always goes back to the same thing. It is a uniquely American sporting event, and no other league on the country put in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Puts their championship game on foreign soil. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know where I stand on
it. It's for your country.
You know where I stand on it. That's, to me, where I draw the line. Like, no, the Super Bowl takes place in the United States of America. Thank you very much.
You'll watch it on YouTube.
Of course I'll watch.
Whatever. Oh, there'll be teams in London. Okay. Now, I will say the one problem is if you create an overseas division, you create an overseas team. You put a team in Mexico City, you put a team in London, and then you are kind of opening up the whole Super Bowl part of it, in my opinion. Because now it's a... not United States League. It is a league that belongs in other countries.
I think we know where it's trending. Within the next 10 years, the Super Bowl will not be in the United States. I hate it. It's going to happen, though. It's just inevitable. I think streaming, also with where TV is going, there will be a Super Bowl that's on streaming, and people will make it. It'll be historical, but also like everybody will still be able to watch it, and it'll end up being okay based off of where things are trending. If they're already adding more and more streaming games every year, we know that's where it's heading as well. That's what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 20 minutes or so, Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life going to join us. Talk a little fantasy football. What do you do with the Giants offense? Jackson Dart's going to start. Obviously, Travis Kelce, is he startable still? Is he an automatic start? And fantasy football plus tonight, Thursday Night Football. You got Darnold going up against Kyler Murray. So we'll get into all that with Paul Charchian here around 12:30.
I will say Malik Nabers was drafted last year, right?
Yes.
I saw this is the sixth quarterback he will catch a pass from.
That's just, you wonder why he still put up crazy numbers, but you wonder why some of these wide receivers won out after a while and struggle. Like, and give Jackson Dart a chance, of course, but yes.
When he even said last year, he was asked about it, and I think he basically said it's not the quarterback. He basically called out Brian Daboll essentially single-handedly. He's like, it's not a quarterback problem.
Yeah.
I mean, did you hear that? I mean, I'll be honest. More often than not, it's a quarterback problem. And here's why I'll say this. Did you guys see the clip of Mike Tomlin? Mike Tomlin was meeting with the media. And he said in a game last year, he told his defense to make sure that Anthony Richardson stayed upright so that Joe Flacco didn't get in the game. He's like, whoa. Jeez. Don't be hitting Anthony Richardson. We're trying to keep his ass in. I was like... That is one of the coldest things ever heard an opposing coach say about
a fellow player. Richardson is never going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
I was like, oh my God. He's like, no, I told him, don't hit him. Keep him in the game. We don't want Flacco coming in.
Wow. Well, that's...
In fairness, I think it also could be a coaching issue, though. Like, he's trying to save his job, so he's putting whoever he thinks can save his job in there, even if it's not right for...
Oh, well, that's the only reason why Jackson Dart's starting this week.
But that's horrible for Jackson Dart.
Exactly.
Sure. Well,
it might work out for him because he might be that dude.
In his debut, he's going up against the Chargers defense versus the Saints a week later. You know, it's like, but there's the urgency because Brian Daboll knows his you know, what is on the line. That's just the reality. By the way, one other thing in what's trending, Cody, we forgot to mention. I don't know if you saw the news from... on the Kay Adams Show, Seahawks running back Sean Alexander expecting his 14th child.
Ugh, what?
Hey, the Alexanders versus the Rivers.
Alexander
family.
Versus Cromarties and River. We're almost close to being able to do like a true tournament.
Whole division.
Yeah, a whole division. That'll be the international division as well. Yeah. Congratulations to him and his wife. 14th child.
Woo. I got to say, it's too many.
14 is too many. There's you go.
I think it was too many at six.
Yeah,
I mean, as one of nine, I guess, including my two stepbrothers. Yeah, 14, 9,
he
7.
He could almost field two teams.
I genuinely cannot imagine. It feels like an absolute obstacle to get my two children to their things, and they're not even in that many activities. What the hell? And I think about when I was a kid, and my parents almost never took me to any youth sporting event. I was always with the parent of a different kid.
How can you coordinate? How like legitimately, goes. Like truly, congratulations to Sean Alexander. But like, I've always thought this. Like, to me, there's no way that you don't screw up your kids' names when you have 12 kids, 14 kids. Like, there's no way. Like, especially when they're literally like, I mean, there's no way you just don't call the kid the wrong name. There's no way. You got 14 of them.
I think that's probably pretty common. It's also just gotta be weird to be the oldest one. You're probably like 26, and you're like, what? I just got like a baby brother now.
Yeah, I don't know how oldest is or anything.
You know, I don't know. Whatever. Congrats, Sean Alexander. That's a lot of kids, my guy. That's a lot of kids. But you know what? You know, we'll get that. Could have been all 32, which we'll get to here in just a couple of minutes. But yeah. I want to talk a little bit about where the Chiefs are and where they're headed, at least as it sits right now. Because I told you earlier, and I gave the stats to support it. We don't have to go through all the numbers again. The Chiefs and Ravens offense, everything but points per game, which I'm not saying is not nothing. The Chiefs are a lot closer to the Ravens. No part of the two defenses are the same. The Ravens are giving up 150 more yards, 100 more in the passing game, 100 more in the rushing game, 15 to 17 more points per game. They're way worse on defense. The Chiefs are at least moving the ball as efficiently as the Ravens. They're not as efficient in putting it in the end zone. They're way worse at settling for field goals. Mm-hmm. But the matchup this weekend, that's where the worthy part feels like such a big part for me. And the lack of Matabuke. I had said on social media, after the Ravens got lit up on that Saturday night game, or the Monday night game, I wasn't sure that the Chiefs were in a good position to take advantage of a Ravens bad defense. With Worthy back and no Matabuke, I'll be honest, I think they're in a much better position to take advantage of a bad Ravens defense now.
They are. I also put some pressure, I think, even more on the Chiefs offense, though. Like, you know, there was some promise against the Giants, but if you look at the defensive fronts, they play the Chargers, they've played the Eagles front, they just played the Giants front. I know the Giants as a football team stink, but their front doesn't. This is the best opportunity in the quote-unquote easiest defensive front they have faced in the first 4 weeks. That's just the reality of it. Now, it doesn't mean that the Chiefs' offense is going to go out there and just have consistent success and score on every drive. That's not what I'm saying. But the opportunity for them to have their most success of the season is set up. Worthy's back, as you said. You're facing a defensive line that hasn't been good and is banged up. You know, you're now 4 weeks into trying to figure out this offense without having Rashee Rice. I think they found something on that opening drive to start the second half. Yeah, this is an opportunity for you maybe to be able to take some of the pressure off of your defense on Sunday if you're Kansas City. You know, I know this happens a lot. As the week goes on, you talk yourself into certain things and like that. I am feeling more confident as the week goes on. I am. Xavier Worthy is going to play, it looks like. And now we know for sure Matabuke is not. I mean, those are two of the biggest reasons, but also,
and there's still two Ravens guys we don't know will play, right? Including Isaiah Likely.
And the more we talk to some outside of Kansas City, you know, experts as well, like it gives me some more confidence. You know, when we have them on the show, I know the national, you know, first take talking shows, heads, yeah. Talking head shows will tell you that the Chiefs are in bigger trouble and that all that. But like, I'm talking about former players. You know, tomorrow we'll have Alex Smith join us at 12:30 on the show and how these guys that played in the league, how they're viewing the Chiefs offense, how they're viewing the Chiefs versus the Ravens. And yeah, I think there's an opportunity for them to get some things corrected even this weekend.
I do too. I mean, I certainly don't rule it out, at least because of where they are and where they have kind of been. But a lot of this comes to the same thing, which is, they're going to have to show it against a Ravens team that is going to be just as hungry
sure.
for a win as them.
Oh, look, and they're still upset about honestly, I bet the week one last year, the opener in Arrowhead last year, where they were marching down the field. Yeah. They obviously get the late touchdown, and then they needed the two-point conversion or whatever it was.
And Isaiah Likely was out of bounds.
Yeah. And
they would have gone for two, I assume.
Or, yeah, sorry, it wasn't the two-point. It was the touchdown. He was out of bounds, and then they would have gone for two.
I assume they would have gone for two, considering it was the waning moments of the game, and they were on the road in week one against the defending Super Bowl champs at that time. I do assume that they would have gone for two. But yeah, look, they're going to be motivated. There's no doubt about that. And I'm sure that they're frustrated by the way that they're playing all the same. Must win might be a little strong on the wordage, but it is a like massive game for both teams. And must win in the sense that if you're planning on winning your division, it might be. Like, and I know that the North is significantly worse than the AFC West appears to be on paper. Although I'll point out, the Broncos have been massively disappointing in the early portion of the season, especially based on quarterback play. Their defense is still very good.
Yeah,
the Chargers have been above, and the Raiders are still bad. So, like, the AFC West is not murderer's row. It's just that the Chargers have a 3-0 start against division opponents. It's making theirs a challenge.
Now, some of this data is based off of pre-wild card expansion, so the percentage is probably higher. But going back to the 90s, 1-3 start meant you had about a 15% chance to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the 90s, they didn't have as many wild card teams.
There's a whole extra team. So,
it's probably
20, 25.
Yeah, let's say it's a 22% chance of making the playoffs if you fall to 1-3.
And the Chiefs, we probably give another 10 or 15% on that.
Well, honestly, yes.
Yeah. So like, okay, I'm up to 50-50.
And the Ravens too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I would say the same thing. If the Ravens lose on Sunday, I don't think the Ravens are toast either, especially
I still think
their
there's a 50-50
division
chance they make the playoffs.
I think they still win their division, Cody.
If they can still win the division.
I think they do.
Well, I mean, I'll
the Steelers going to keep up all year. Like, I have the Steelers as a playoff team preseason as a wild card, not winning the division. I think Cincinnati with the quarterback situation, I don't believe they're going to rattle off enough wins to run away with that, even though they currently are leading the NFC or the NFC, the AFC North.
I think we can talk about Bo Nix tomorrow. Do you know that the two worst pro football rated quarterbacks, pro football focus rated quarterbacks are in the NFL right now? Bo Nix dead last. Aaron Rodgers second to last. Those are the two worst.
And one with a winning record? Is that right?
One's 2-1. One's 2-1, the
and
Steelers.
One's 1-2.
Because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
And one's 1-2 in the Denver Broncos. Those are the two worst rated.
Wow. Bo Nix doesn't start playing better. The Broncos will be an 8-win team.
If that doesn't make any. It's hard to make sense of it, though, because I think Aaron Rodgers has played completely fine, and there's other quarterbacks who stink that are better than him.
I think Aaron Rodgers. They've been playing.
Is that because you don't like Aaron Rodgers?
Man, or
is
I'm always accused of this because
here
of like.
Sometimes it comes across as that way.
Well, I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I'm not denying that. Aaron Rodgers, I've said, was a perfectly fine quarterback last year. He was awful the year before that. I've said on record he was a perfectly fine quarterback last year in which he did it. He's not looked good this year. What do you mean looked fine? You're too used to watching AFC North football. I think that's what it is. You look at a 13-10 game and you're like, perfectly good quarterbacking. We did it, everybody.
I don't think he's played like one bad game this year.
I don't think
he's played one bad game. I think against Seattle was his worst game of the year. I don't think he was that terrible against the Patriots.
I think
in week one, obviously, he was awesome against the Jets.
He was real week one against the
this
Jets.
This is obviously very great. Objective, but if we're going off quarterback rating alone, he's 14 points higher than Patrick Mahomes.
He has 97.3 I mean, it's QB like, rating.
He hasn't played that bad.
Quarterback rating, I think, is a particularly bad stat, but that's fine. But, like, I thought he was really good against the Jets, and I think he's been stinky the last 2 weeks. I was not blown away by his performance against him. He didn't have to – part of it is also – he didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, hard to beat the stats, Patriots, but 139 yards passing, if that's what you're going to say.
No, I
hear you. I think he's been fine. I don't think he's played like the worst quarterback in football. That's surprising.
No. Well, the second worst.
I don't think he's played like the second worst quarterback either. All right, let's get to all 32. I want to talk about a player that is in action tonight, actually. Thursday night football. I think he's a little underrated right now. I'm talking about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You know, that's somebody I wanted the Chiefs to draft 2 years ago who didn't. Ohio State wide receiver. Most underrated wide receiver in football right now, man.
Was when a wide receiver didn't get taken until the 20s, right?
I do not know the exact timeline.
It was pretty late. It was later in the draft than typical. That's all.
Yeah. 22 catches, 323 yards. He's got the second most yards of any receiver in football, the fifth most receptions. He's getting targeted at a crazy rate. He's clearly the favorite target of Sam Darnold. They get the Cardinals tonight. I'm just saying, I don't put him in the category of Amon-Ra or Chase or Jefferson. Of course not. But I think he is underrated. He is one of the better wide receivers in football, and he's going to put up some insane numbers this year with the amount of target share he's getting. So that's all. I'm just saying, a little love for JSN.
Honestly, good for Darnold for immediately just being like, it was really easy to just sort of Justin Jefferson a lot. Hello, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Would you like to do that? Because this seems to work pretty well for me if that works for you. They've had a good running game. They've overall been good. The Darnold signing has put them back at least into the mix in the NFC West, which is a team that felt like it was kind of floundering a little bit with Geno and maybe just wanted a little bit of new blood. They're not way different in quarterback quality, but at least he found a way to use a Jaxon Smith-Njigba more. I think a big thing that we all should be watching for the next 2 or 3 weeks in the NFL is the Chargers' offensive line. For the first two games, you didn't notice that they were missing their left tackle, and we stopped talking about the fact that they were without Rashawn Slater. Last week, it showed. They won. They get credit for winning.
And who were they playing, though? What defensive line?
A very good defensive line group, no doubt about it. But the question is, as you've mentioned before on the show, did they expose something that other teams can expose, or just a talent? I'm not saying their offensive line has no ability to block for Justin Herbert, but he got hit a lot. And if you look at the season-long numbers, he's been hit at a slightly decent rate in the early going. Eventually, he's just going to catch up with them. That's why I'm saying for the next 2 or 3 weeks, pay attention, because this is what happened with the Chiefs. We got lulled into a false sense of, our offensive line is okay. Look, is it perfect? But they're getting by. That's what we said about the Chiefs' gold in the middle of the season until it was a massive problem. And so I'm just saying, keep an eye on what the Chargers' offensive line looks like. There could be some exposure problems for them there.
So mile 32, I'm going to go to a team that's currently 0-3, the Houston Texans. It feels like C.J. Stroud, we know how much of a struggle it's been for him. I think some of it is the offensive line, but D'Amico Ryans, I think, is a really, he's a good coach, but I wonder if C.J. Stroud needs an offensive-minded guy, because one of the things I think that came up this past weekend when they played was the rotation of OCs he's had, and it hasn't helped him out, just the same as we talk about, you know, like, the Giants and Malik Nabers with the coaches as well. I think it's the same thing with the offensive coordinators, where maybe it's time to just get the next offensive mind head coach. And not that it's D'Amico Ryan's fault, but it's for the betterment of C.J. Stroud and your franchise quarterback.
I mean, it's so kind of his fault.
I think it's something to monitor.
He was on my stock down on Monday when we did stock up, stock down. And some of the reason was the change in OC. The O-line's a disaster. I'll say this. I also agree that I think D'Amico Ryan's is a very, very good head coach. But if this continues to go really, really far south, his job will absolutely be in jeopardy at the end of the year. Yeah. I mean, they're in danger. I think they are going to beat the Titans this weekend. Otherwise, they're 0-4. And then we are really talking about him getting fired.
Midseason,
I think they get to 1-3 after this weekend. Stroud is just, he just doesn't look like the same quarterback, guys. I understand it hasn't been the perfect setup for him, but there was an article in Houston talking about whether or not he's jeopardizing his extension. I mean, that's crazy stuff. 2 years ago, we all, like, what you would have called me a complete moron, you would have called me one if I would have told you then that there was no way an extension was going to happen. That's in jeopardy here. I'm with you on the philosophy. I've long said on this show, if I was an owner of a team or a GM, there is no way I would ever have my young quarterback be attached to a defensive-minded head coach. It doesn't mean that there aren't defensive-minded head coaches that have success. Mm-hmm. But I do not want my young quarterback having an OC that, let's say he does succeed, well, then he gets another job. That's going to be the interesting to watch even with the Commanders. So Cliff Kingsbury is now in year two as the OC with Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be pretty damn good for a while, but most likely, if things go well, Cliff is going to get a head coaching gig again, so they're going to have to bring in a new OC because Dan Quinn is a defensive-minded head coach. That's the beautiful thing in Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Sean McVay is not going anywhere unless he's going to broadcast football games sometime in the future.
Is there a decent chance that the loser of the football game between the Texans and the Titans is the fired head coach? Tell me Callahan keeps his job. I think Callahan's fired
him.
I meant after this week.
Oh, no.
I think D'Amico Ryans can get fired for losing to the Titans.
Not after this week. They're not going to fire D'Amico after making the playoffs 4 weeks into the season. That's a bit.
It is grounds for you, Cody, to his seat is becoming scorching hot, I guess. Because I think, like what you said, Gold, he's not a bad coach, but I think if you're the team and you believe in the quarterback, you take the quarterback over the coach.
Well, sure. I just don't think this would fall out.
I don't know if it happens in the middle of the year.
He's been to four. Brian Callahan, I think 500.
Cody, if they do, it depends on how they look. I guess if they get blown out by let's say C.J. Stroud looks the best that he's looked all season by a mile, and it's against your team, that would be grounds where I don't think he'd get fired after 1 week, but I think by the end of the year we can basically begin start writing the eulogy right now.
His job will be in jeopardy at the end of the year if they end up being a 3-win team or something, for sure. But he's been 10-7 in a playoff team.
I don't think D'Amico Ryans is not getting fired.
He's won the division in his only 2 years as the head coach, 10-win, and all of a sudden he starts 0-4 and you guys want to fire him?
I wouldn't want to fire.
I'm asking you.
Callahan makes more sense, Cody, I think, than D'Amico Ryans does.
I don't think it's as crazy as we think if you start the season that way. People have been fired for less.
He's 2-2 in his playoff career as well.
Yeah. I'm not saying this isn't even like an indictment necessarily.
Only year three for him.
I think D'Amico Ryans overall does a pretty nice job there, but his once looked like budding star quarterback is playing bad, and if they start 0-4.
No, got to get it corrected. I'm not saying it's good times in Houston. I think they missed the postseason, and it's an offseason convo. But he has not nearly been bad enough to get fired after an 0-4 start for the first time in his coaching career or something, if in fact that happens. But I do think the Texans will beat the Titans. Spoiler, I think that might be one of our picks for Circa Millions this weekend.
Could be.
Yeah, it might be. Those lines are just out, so we'll have to take a look. Up next, though, let's talk some fantasy football with Paul Charchian. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eat, drink, scenic views. We'll get his perspective on tonight's game, who to start, and also, is Travis Kelce still an automatic start at tight end in fantasy football?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Random question of the day coming up in 12 minutes here on Cody and Gold. Hope you guys are having a great Thursday here in Kansas City. As you were mentioning during your last read, Cody, it is beautiful in Kansas City. Gonna be nice now.
Yep.
We got the rain out of the way. Gonna be a nice weekend for sports. And I know you said you got your kids got tennis and stuff, soccer, all that kind of stuff going on this weekend as well. We got fantasy football to worry about as well. All right. We got to get going here. It's time for a good week 4 and to talk more about it. We got Paul Charchian from Guillotine Leagues and Matthew Berry, Fantasy Life, to join us as he does each and every Thursday. He's brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Charge, let's work in reverse here a little bit. Normally, we save Thursday Night Football for the end, but let's start with tonight. I'm excited for this Seahawks-Cardinals game. I was telling Cody, I think that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is extremely underrated. Do you agree? He's a must-start right now, right?
Yeah, absolute must start. And by the way, who would have guessed Seattle, Arizona would have multiple fascinating storylines? And this looked like a pretty mundane Thursday nighter a few weeks ago, but now there's all kinds of things that make this pretty compelling tonight. And yeah, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Alex, is a superstar receiver that almost nobody's talking about. I don't think he's on the Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua level, but he's right there after those guys. And honestly, outperforming, you know, both Jefferson and Chase. He's number 2 in receiving yards, 108 per game. He's the 5th most targeted receiver. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba would probably be higher, but the Seahawks crushed the Saints last week and really didn't even have to pass. And potentially sitting on a big game tonight. Cardinals are going to be without their best cornerback. His name's Will Johnson. He's got a groin injury. 5th round rookie Denzel Burke is the replacement. And that guy's gotten eaten alive in the work he has seen so far. The last 2 number 1 receivers to face Arizona have both topped 100 yards. So Jaxon Smith-Njigba potentially sitting on a really big game. He's my number 3 receiver for the week.
One of the guys on the other side, we do a little segment on Monday, stock up, stock down. Not necessarily be a player, coach, I don't care. One time it was blocked kicks, the stock was up. Marvin Harrison Jr. 2 weeks ago was stock down. He has not been the type of wide receiver that he was drafted to be. Fantasy wise, borderline unplayable now. I don't know if that's far enough. Like, would you start benching him?
Yes. No. Yeah, absolutely. Marvin Harrison's lost all the benefit of the doubt. You know, the draft equity, 4th overall pick in the draft, that's all dissolved now. And I think it's fair at this point to look back at the full season and 3 games that Marvin Harrison played, because Cody, you know, you could say, well, we're going to erase last year. That was his rookie year. Now he's a sophomore. But the problem is it's all the same stuff this year that we saw last year from Marvin Harrison. From a pure fantasy standpoint, when Marvin Harrison does not score a touchdown, he is an auto L for your team. His average finish when he does not score a touchdown, which isn't all that often, is wide receiver 65 for Marvin Harrison. And here's the problems to my eyes. Number 1, drops, consecutive games of drops, and they're ignominious drops at that. He has the worst separation rate in the NFL, including tight ends. So tight ends, the way that Next Gen Stats bundles up receivers, they bundle up wide receivers and tight ends together. Marvin Harrison has the worst separation, including 260-pound tight ends that are lumbering out there, getting more separation than he's getting. And then all these Kyler Murray misfires with him that we don't necessarily know if it's on Murray or if it's on Harrison, but we know those two fail to connect a lot. And you roll all that together, and with a good Seattle pass defense tonight, and I only have Marvin Harrison in one of my leagues, and I'm benching him. I would recommend if you've got any other good modest alternatives that you do the same.
Obviously, the Cardinals lost James Conner. Of the 2, Trey Benson or Cam Scadaboo, the guys who look like they're now full-blown starters. Which one do you like in the long haul?
Well, that's a great question. I think I like Trey Benson because he's going to get all of the work. He is going to be a massive workhorse runner for the Cardinals. And Scattable looks great, too, by the way. Did you guys see the backflip he did?
Yeah, pretty impressive.
How does a guy built like Cam Scattable get – how can he do a backflip? What is not to love about that guy's game?
Prime Peyton Hillis. It's back. You know, it feels like that all over again.
There's a little bit something to that. I had not heard that analogy. I like that. With Trey Benson, the workhorse is going to start tonight for a couple of reasons. One, they want to de-emphasize Kyler Murray and a bad passing offense. I think that's certainly part of it. But also, Seattle seeing the third most rushes and the most overall running back touches against them. So teams, you know, Seattle's a good pass defense, as I mentioned. So teams are trying to run on Seattle a lot. They've actually been a pretty good run defense. They're getting eaten alive through the air. And Trey Benson.
All right, I think we lost our connection there briefly with Paul Charchi and talking a little fantasy football with him, specifically this Thursday night matchup with the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And then I do want to ask him about Travis Kelce from a fantasy football perspective. Is he still an automatic starter? But yeah, I think Trey Benson is going to be very good for Arizona. Look, James Conner, it's unfortunate the injury. Like that's probably it for James Conner being a starting running back in this league. So now it's Trey Benson's time, and it sounded like Charch was a big believer in what Trey Benson might be able to do, and they're going to maybe lean on the run game tonight due to maybe the issues with Kyler Murray. Paul Charchi and back with us here. I was just saying, it sounds you like Trey Benson quite a bit. It sounds like.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we dropped there. Although I don't know, I got the new iPhone Air, and
yeah,
the software I use to connect to your station, it works fine. But somebody called me, and normally it's not a problem. But that I think that knocked me off the air when somebody called me.
No, you're good.
Anyway, you were just saying he's the next workhorse back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is. And tonight it's going to start tonight. Seattle has seen the most total running back touches against them. That's receptions plus rushes. No team has seen more than Seattle, and you got to minimize Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison. So this is going to be a nice opportunity, and especially through the air, where Seattle's allowed the most receiving yards to running backs out of every team in the league. So I think we're going to see it start tonight. 20 total carries for Trey Benson and a workhorse role incoming.
Let's go to Kansas City on the fantasy football end, and Travis Kelce, yeah. Xavier Worthy looks like he's going to play. He was a full participant in practice, but Travis Kelce, is he an automatic starter at tight end still in fantasy?
No, guys, I think it's come to this. And I mean, I'll be fascinated to hear what you have to think. I mean, eye test is one thing, but let me give you some metrics to sort of go along with it. His separation has dropped from last year. He was 3.5 yards, and that was down from closer to 4 yards the year before to 2.9 yards per play, his separation rate. Kelce isn't catching downfield. We talked about this a week or two ago. His ADOT, his average distance of target, has shrunk to 6.5 yards. That is his shortest number in 11 seasons. So he's not being targeted downfield. And then get this, and I bet even you guys don't know this. Kelce ranks second to last in tight end pass blocking. He's 58th in tight end pass blocking. If he can't pass protect, then Noah Gray starts turning into a third down option. As a fantasy player, we don't want Kelce off the field on third downs. So I have a lot of concern going forward. Travis Kelce was in guillotine leagues. He was the, I believe, fourth most chopped player at any position last week, and the most chopped tight end last week. So you guys tell me, is Travis Kelce an auto start anymore?
Probably not an auto start, but just knowing where tight ends are in fantasy in general, he's like starting any other tight end at the moment. I think my biggest thing, Charge, is the target share. He used to be a 6-7 target guy a game, and now he's more in the 3-4 range, which means he kind of has to get in the end zone to make him better than the wash at tight end, especially where you selected him, probably the wash. Cause and then that's always like the tough part. Cause where we selected him, I was going to ask you this week anyway, like everyone's draft strategy this year, in my opinion, was Get rid of the quality running backs we know are good. We're all starting over. All the rookies are going to carry us to freedom. And it's been the opposite so far. So, like, is Hampton, Genty, like, are any of these guys charged? Who do you like the best, I guess, out of that group to be better than they have been to start?
Well, okay, so Genty, it's now or never for Genty. It's Chicago this week. That defense has been ravaged, you know, injury problems. They were bad against the run last year. They're bad this year. They were good against the pass last year, but they're all injured now. So for Genty, oh, do you see this stat? This is a great stat. For Genty, he's got up 155 rushing yards on the year. 156 have come after contact.
So he has been hit behind the line of scrimmage pretty much on every snap, is
what
you're saying.
Every play. And when he does get a little bit of, gets a little window, Genty ends up performing pretty well. And I, you know, he's making guys miss and he looks like the Ashton Genty we thought he was going to be. But if you can't get it done here, I mean, this has got to be the time you turn it around against Chicago. They allowed the most rushing touchdowns last year. You have to be able to turn it around against Chicago. And I think I want to believe that's going to happen, if only to save the narrative that we all walked into the season on, that Genty was going to have a very, very special year. And I want to believe that's going to be the case. Bears allowing the second most rushing yards in the league so far this season.
All right, before we let you go, Charts, a lot of people asking about the Giants with Malik Nabers now having a new quarterback there. Yeah. What does Jackson Dart do for people that own Nabers?
Well, he can only help. I mean, unlike Russell Wilson, Dart actually cares. He's a fierce competitor. I mean, what we saw from Russell Wilson sleepwalking through Sunday night's game was professionally embarrassing. And honestly, that chisels away at his chances at the Hall of Fame. I think he's hurting himself more than the stat padding is helping him get into the Hall of Fame. So let me ask both of you, Russell Wilson, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is he an eventual Hall of Famer, or is he not a Hall of Famer?
I think he's an eventual Hall of Famer. I don't know how he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think, you know, everybody now has seen the last couple of years. We forget, though, still how good he was in Seattle. I thought there was a good conversation earlier this week, I can't remember what national show, and it was like, yeah, I know Eli has two rings, but if you think Eli's a Hall of Famer, it's hard to argue against Russ being one.
Yes, it is hard to argue. It's more than just rings, right? He should have, in some ways, he should have two rings.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
But he did throw the game losing interception, so that's kind of on him. They just never should have been running, passing the ball in that situation, mm-hmm. of course. I think I'm with you. Eventual Hall of Famer, he gets in, but I think he's damaging himself here. But Jackson Dart. So Dart, super exciting opportunity for him. First of all, he's a special runner. He could end up in a category of Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen because he's big bodied and, you know, big quarterbacks who are allowed to run. If he gets designed runs from Brian Daboll, and Lord knows Brian Daboll should use every asset available to him, sure, he could be a special runner, and that breaks open your scoring system for your fantasy league. But he's also got to be a better passer. If what we saw in the preseason was very promising. It's only preseason, and you know, there's tons of bad reads in the preseason. But I do like the idea that we're going to have a higher completion percentage quarterback and somebody who's not just throwing Hail Mary rainbows downfield. He can throw aggressively downfield on a big arm. Jackson Dart can only help this offense.
I genuinely feel bad for Malik Nabers, who's been a great fantasy player and has had six now different quarterbacks throw him the football once.
Are you serious?
Dart throws him a pass and completes one. That'll be the sixth quarterback to throw him a pass in 20 NFL games.
That's insane. Oh, and by the way, all the other five are all awful and don't even belong in the NFL. Except Daniel Jones? Yeah, Daniel Jones would be the one caveat.
Honestly, Brian Daboll looks way worse now because Daniel Jones is dealing in Indy.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been outcoached by Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen rolled into this year as the Vegas odds favorite to be the first coach fired. And look what he's done with Daniel Jones that Brian Daboll could not unlock at all. Unbelievable.
Paul Charchian, appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks, friends. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
There you go. Good insight from Charch every Thursday at 12:30. And our conversations with Charch are presented by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Can you name the six quarterbacks for Malik Nabers? So Drew Lock was one of them last year.
Drew Lock, Russell Wilson, obviously. Daniel Jones.
Was the six including Dart or no?
Tommy DeVito.
Did the six include
Six Dart? Will be Dart. Okay, Dart is five.
Okay.
I mentioned Tommy DeVito. Missing one.
Who the heck are we missing?
Some other guy who got in after DeVito.
Don't you include Dar? I thought you included Dar.
Yeah, but we only got to five.
Okay.
There's one more missing.
Who the heck? Was it last year?
Yeah. I mean, he got drafted last year, right?
Tyrod Taylor?
Oh, that's
Wait, we didn't mention him.
There we go. Tyrod. What a list. Murderers Row of quarterback.
Jones, DeVito, Taylor, Jones, Locke, DeVito, Russell Wilson, now Dart.
Hideous. I mean, just hideous. Genuinely. Sixth quarterback. Yep. He hadn't been in the league that long. But yet, and yet.
So still. It says, if Russ actually got in the Hall of Fame, that Hall of Fame speech will be the most cringeworthy speech in Hall of Fame history.
It'd be awkward.
It'd be very cheesy.
It'd be very awkward for every person involved. Yes. You got a good rush drop?
Random question.
No, not quick enough.
I was going to say, I was waiting.
You got a good rush drop?
Not quick enough.
Random. Unlimited.
The random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. And, of course, over on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, we live stream the show 4 hours every day just for your pleasure. The question I have today comes via a media survey that took place about Gen Z's film going and film preference habits. Mm-hmm. As you might say, well, what could that possibly mean? Well, it turns out there's a trend amongst Gen Z movie watchers, and I want to know what you prefer in a movie. A film industry account had posted about an industry survey about Gen Z consumers found that near super majority of young people thought television and movies had too much sexual content. These are some of the comments. I skip past it, always unnecessary long, useless and adds nothing. It literally ruins a movie or show for me. It isn't even needed to be kept platonic. We could literally don't need to see it clapping is what it says. It's always awkward when watching people and totally unnecessary when watching alone. So the question I have for you is, do you think sexual content sometimes adds to a movie or television show? Are you a Gen Z here and you don't need it?
So Gen Z,
the hint of the sexual content is enough for you? Or do you prefer your TV shows Game of Thrones-y or Bridgerton-esque or whatever other versions of show you like where the sexual content's a little ramped
up? So Gen Z is not people born between 97 and 2012. So that's not you, that's not me, and
it's not me either. I'm a millennial technically, yeah.
Okay, so that's none of us on this show.
We're all millennials technically. They call me a geriatric one, but I'm
geriatric, baby.
Geriatric.
I count.
To answer the question, I don't need, like, if you've watched Righteous Gemstones or Game of Thrones, like, I don't need just, you know, that. but otherwise, I think there's just the right amount. Like, I'm pro having some of it in my television and movie shows, but I don't need, if you've watched Righteous Gemstones, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need that much of that.
Someone says this is the reason why America's birth rate is failing. They don't even want to watch, they don't even want to watch sexually based content. Mm. It's so weird because, like, growing up, that was a thing that, like, people discussed as being something like when I saw American Pie and they're like, ooh,
yeah.
Oh, look at what we, you know, like, that was like a moment, like a defining moment, apparently, is what it felt like. So that felt like something you grew into. Now, I don't watch. Like, it doesn't bother me in game. Like, I nothing it in Game of Thrones. That makes sense. I'm not like, yes, that definitively adds to the storyline and here we go. But also, yeah, I don't need it in every single episode all the time. They're saying they just want it out altogether. They just want it to, like, fade to black, lights turn off, and you just assume they
have
sex.
Well, that's silly.
That feels a little like, can we get a middle ground?
Yeah. I'm with you there. That's fine. Someone says my wife loves watching those type of shows. Mm. I always ask why she watches people have sex but won't have sex with me. I had to censor that a little bit, but I hear you.
You did?
Yes, just a little.
You had to censor that a little bit?
Yes.
Someone says, isn't explicit content why people watch Euphoria? Yes, but apparently not Gen Z. Mm-hmm. That's us millennials.
Yeah, Euphoria definitely like is full of that. Yep.
A lot of shows are. Yeah. It's a very common part of, like, HBO or
In general, like, I'm pro sex, Cody. I don't know about you.
Pro sex. This show does not kink shame, as that's right. It's well established on this show. So, you know, we got to do that. That's what I was asking. I was surprised to find out that all of Gen Z was like, less sex in my, you know, in my general television and movie consumption. Drew, where are you at? How much of it do you prefer in your content?
I guess I don't necessarily.
Well, he's watching Scooby-Doo, he said, so there's none there.
Yeah, there's none there.
They didn't even, like, Fred and Daphne don't even kiss in that show. There's not even like a hint of sexual tension. They don't even date.
Yeah, but we know that they were together though. Like I think that's I think it can be assumed.
Is that no? It can't be assumed. What was the cartoon not that long ago when they said they're not actually?
No, not SpongeBob.
Hold on, wait.
Oh, I know what we're talking about.
It said they were just lifelong friends.
Princess Peach.
Mario.
We're like, sure, okay. They're just,
can't assume anything.
What did they say? Friends. Hey. Basically, they described them as friends with benefits.
Who help each other out.
Yeah. Listen, before I give my opinion, all I want to say is anytime they wanted to go and look for clues, Fred never went with Scooby and Shaggy. He was always going with Daphne and
Velma. Friends. That's how friend groups work.
He was always going.
The episodes would have gone by a lot quicker if anyway.
They'd have a lot less time for a crime if they just get to it.
Anyways,
go hunt for ghosts in abandoned houses.
Fred, someone thinks
just
Fred,
be a normal teenager.
Someone said, on the text that they think Fred was maybe interested in the opposite sex, perhaps.
Look, I didn't. I don't.
Is it the ascot that's making people think that? What's the driving force?
I don't. I guess I don't mind it, but I'm not. I don't think it's necessary. Like I'm not going to Game of Thrones for that content.
Of course,
like,
nobody's saying anybody is doing that.
Like if it comes up, I think it's fine. I think you can overdo it where it's like, all right, I didn't have to have all that, but to me, it just is what it is. Like I don't have a preference. I guess if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. It is interesting though how, and you mentioning growing up and watching movies, Cody. It's interesting how the ratings have changed.
Sure.
Like there really aren't G-rated movies anymore, to my knowledge.
No.
It's more PG-related things. And PG is different than it was in 1995 when I was born.
They just, they do the same thing they did in kids' movies when we were a kid, and they sneak in stuff for the adults and be like, whoa, I see what joke you made there. And obviously my 7 and 9-year-olds, it's over their head.
I do think that there's more of it now, and I think at times, to this person's point from the 816, it can just be, it doesn't have to be everywhere, I guess. There is a point to that. I think I probably lie on that side of the
fence. Someone says we go from buying apples in the produce section in a scene to then sucking something.
I will say I do feel bad. I do feel bad for that vegetable because it's turned into something that is not. I feel bad for that vegetable.
It had a clean reputation. It's been besmirched.
Drew just said he feels sorry for the eggplant.
I feel bad for the eggplant.
He feels sorry for the eggplant.
I feel sorry for the eggplant. I feel sorry.
Yeah. You know,
I'm sure it's a great vegetable, but people now.
I gotta be honest, if anything, if you were an eggplant farmer, this has helped you. Someone randomly buying one, even if they're not planning on cooking it, just for the visual joke of making a post.
Yeah, but are they not buying they're not buying it, they're just thinking of it. Because if you see eggplant, I'm not thinking, oh, I'm gonna go buy eggplant because I want to have it.
I'm saying that's a vegetable I didn't even think of.
Drew, when you go to the grocery store and you see an eggplant, are you just constantly thinking of
traditionally, I do not think of...
It sounds like it's interfering with your grocery shopping. You can't help it. You go right by the eggplant and you just can't stop but feel sorry for the eggplant.
I intentionally avoid the eggplant.
Can we create a PSA on the show? Have you or someone you love
been impacted
by an eggplant emoji? Here at Cody and Cold, we're here to help.
it's just terrible that it's turned into that for the eggplant, you know?
Never mind, I can't read that.
No. Better to just.
Someone
leave
said
some
Shaggy
of those
and Velma are a couple in Mystery Incorporated
have you seen
show.
That?
No, I haven't.
Is that the like more geared towards adult one on adults on HBO?
I don't know.
Or
if
eggplant.
If it's the more modern cartoon version, yeah. I haven't watched that because I think that it's totally different. I'm not about that. But Shaggy and Velma together. Okay.
God, he's a purist when it comes to Scooby Doo. Mm. I had no idea. And he's calling himself a Scooby Doo purist, and he's probably listening to the one when it was like Good Charlotte doing the intro. That's not OG Scooby Doo.
Scooby Dooby Doo.
Yeah, the one that sounds like pop punk. That's not OG Scooby Doo. It's like Good Charlotte or Newfound Glory. It's one of those like
I like the Scooby Doo is like with the Harlem Globetrotters where you this is like 70s Scooby Doo like 70s and 80s where you can tell that. They were images stacked together because the lines around the people's bodies change. Oh, yeah.
Someone says, just turn on the show. What the heck? How did we get here? Yep. Someone says, Drew feels bad for an eggplant. I'm effing dead.
Someone said, I've got an honest soul. Yeah.
Someone says, don't let Drew watch the Veggie Tales. Keep him away.
I grew up on Veggie Tales.
It makes sense.
Simple Plan is the band. I want to get that right. Tales.
I might come back with that as the bumper music,
Please don't.
You don't want to hear Bob and Larry?
Never seen that.
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you guys missed out.
That show looked lame.
Larry, and eggplants.
Larry was the cucumber. And then you had the asparagus.
After my time.
All right. Up next, back to football, I promise. Jeez. Patrick Mahomes has been dealing with something that nobody else has over the last 15 to 20 years. We'll tell you what it is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.